The Church Urban Fund is a charitable arm of the Church of England, which is its aim is to help churches do social action, by which it could mean anything from night shelters to food banks to community wardrobes to lunch clubs. And what we do at the Church Urban Fund is we work through different programmes to help churches do those things better or differently or in a more joined up way. Yeah.
Brilliant, thank you. I'm going to see if my microphone works at the same time. That's brilliant, it does. So the Church Urban Fund have, and I'll get this right, a strapline that says changing lives and communities together. And what does a working day look like for one of your staff that you work with?
Well, we do employ people all around the country in local communities. And so from one of their perspectives, it might look like running a project in the morning, such as a food poverty project. So a lot of the things we do are about holiday hunger, you know, when children who receive free school meals during term time, then their families struggle to feed them or to be able to afford enough food during holiday seasons. So many of our projects around the country are set up to help feed families that struggle to afford food through the holidays. So for one of our development workers, wherever, in, for example, there's one in Plymouth who runs a holiday hunger program called Feast of Fun. And so a working day for them could look like getting up and going and running that throughout the morning and over lunchtime. And then in the afternoon, they might have meetings with other partners in the city to help them run things in a way that means they're not competing with other providers, but that they're working together across the city in a joined up way. And that could be anything from training people on how to set up reception centres for modern day slaves. So that's something they do in Plymouth, is they train churches to make sure that people coming out of an experience of slavery, modern day slavery, can go into churches and receive a warm welcome and signposting to the kind of support that those people need. So that could be a working day for someone out in the field.
Sounds quite varied.
Very varied.
Each day
yeah.
could be different.
Yeah.
We quite often see a need around us and think, I just don't know where to start. Have you got a go-to, get-going kind of point of action that you could give people that are thinking that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's... you can take that question in two ways. So as an individual, if you're feeling like you want to start somewhere, I think an important thing to do is to find out what's going on already. But also, if you want to kind of personally help, I think a really good point as a Christian is to start by praying for that need that you see. And often I find, or often as a Christian, praying for something can help you find the best way forward in terms of supporting that or meeting that need more practically. But, I mean, also as a church or as a church community or as a group of people, I think the best thing to do is to find out what other provision is going on and find out if there's nothing going on, meeting that need already, talking to others in other places who are already engaged in that kind of work. So lots of people do approach the Church Urban Fund for exactly that purpose, because they have a need in their town or their city. And they know that we are already involved in running those kinds of activities or initiatives all over the country. So they'll come and speak to us and say, how can we best approach this? How can we best meet this need?
So working together rather than running off on
Absolutely.
Your own.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, and what would you say brings you the most joy in your work?
For me, I think it's the intersection between my faith and what I understand to be my calling from Jesus through the Gospels about responding to people who have needs and very often very physical needs, and the work that we do all over the country and seeing how that how people's faith is playing out in the work that they're doing and providing for people, very vulnerable people, people living in deprived communities, and seeing how transformation happens in those people's lives and in those people's communities. Because often I think it can feel so hopeless, the things we're faced with. It can feel like when we see a homeless person and we know how vast the issue of homelessness is, for example, it can feel like there's nothing we can do to change that. But seeing the projects happening around the country that are really making a difference and getting people off the streets and into sustainable lives and into housing, and hearing the stories of those people's lives that have literally been turned around is just joyful for me. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing a bit about your work and what you do. And we're going to hear more from Holly later.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, the testament reading is from the book of Micah, chapter 6, beginning at the first verse. It can be found on page 934 in the Bibles in the pews. Micah 6, verse 1. Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up. Plead your case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, O mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember what Balak king of Moab counseled and what Balaam son of Beor answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. This is the word of the Lord.
Is Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 32. It can be found on page 1009 in the Pew Bibles. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Thank you so much for coming out in this miserable night. I hope the reflections I'm going to share, I hope, are interesting to you. I think really what I'd like to do is talk through that reading and talk about how I interpret it in a way as a model for social action. And really, I suppose what I mean by social action is activities we get involved in, initiatives we get involved in that are somehow seeking to make people's lives better, to make people's communities better. And that could be something quite specific, like I know some of the things you do through this church community, such as Feast and other initiatives, or it could just be things you do in your daily life that you seek in a way to make people's lives better and to improve your communities. So as I mentioned before, Church Urban Fund, the charity I work for, is we aim to tackle poverty all over England through church-based social action. And I'm sure you don't need me to tell you how much need and inequality there is in Britain today, but recent statistics have been truly staggering. Last year, 600 homeless people died on the streets of Britain. And over the summer just gone, it was reported that there are 3 million children at risk of holiday hunger in this country. 3 million children that will go hungry or went hungry over last summer. And according to research, 70% of households in the UK are seeing either a stagnation or a drop in their income. So it's clear in lots of different ways that inequality in Britain is stark and getting worse. I think it's a pretty bleak and painful picture. And there are many, many ways that the Bible makes the case for Christians to do something about this. I mean, we heard in the Old Testament reading as well, what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly. But also from the very act of creation, when God made all people in his image, all humans made equal. And yet inequality means millions of people in our communities in this country live in poverty. And as Christians, I think it's clear that we're called in our own ways to respond to this inequality. And it's this understanding of faith which underpins many thousands of church-based social action projects all over the country. From projects offering everything from community fridges to community wardrobes, Christians are following the gospel call to feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, and clothe the naked. The story we just heard about the feeding of the multitudes, I think, is really helpful when we come to thinking exactly about how we're called to undertake these projects and what this looks like in practice. Now, I think this story is arguably an example of a kind of gospel social action. Jesus is faced with thousands of people with all kinds of needs who want to be healed, who want to be taught, but they're also hungry. And Jesus models for us what perfect social action looks like. And in this instance alone, but also throughout the Gospels, there are lots of lessons we can learn about how we engage in social action as Christians. And I think I've picked out five lessons we can learn from this story. So let's start back at the beginning of the reading. And it says, all these kinds of people come to Jesus with needs. He gets off the boat and is confronted with hundreds and thousands of people with needs. And it says, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them. He had compassion for them. So I think this, for me, is the first lesson to learn about social action from this reading. It must always be rooted in a place of compassion. When we look upon our brothers and sisters and are moved by compassion, we understand what it really means to love our neighbour. When we feel others suffering as keenly as they do themselves, that is when we are most faithfully following Christ. In moments of true compassion, we can relate the needs of others to our own needs and recognize our own brokenness in the lives of others and their brokenness in ourselves. I think when social action comes out of do-gooding or a duty or a feeling that it's what you should probably do, then sometimes it can become about power in a way where the providers are people who have power. And I talked a little bit about this morning, where people doing social action have expertise, authority, resources, and the receiver of that social action is understood as lacking in some way. But to me, that understanding of social action is at odds with our faith, which teaches us that we are all made in the image of God and that we will all have brokenness, but we will all also have gifts. And when our social action is rooted in compassion, then we find it emerges as love. And Jesus shows us this not only in this reading, but all through the Gospels. And in fact, it's the truth of the Incarnation. God coming to earth as a man in Jesus is an ultimate act of compassion. So root our action in compassion is the first lesson I take from this scripture. And the second comes from this commandment when Jesus says, "You give them something to eat." So let's revisit that in the scripture. It says, "When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a deserted place and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and buy something for themselves to eat.' But he answered them, 'You give them something to eat.'" Jesus shows us that it's not enough to see a brother or sister in need and to send them away. It's biblically clear that when we come across others in need, we are called to act. There's no passing of the buck, no shirking of our responsibilities. You give them something to eat. Our lesson here is very simple, but so difficult to follow. And it's the same lesson we receive again and again throughout the Bible. Feed the hungry, care for the widowed, visit the sick, clothe the naked, welcome the stranger. Jesus, of course, could have miraculously supplied and distributed all the food but himself. But he commands the disciples participate in his action, just as he commands we participate. So we must hear our own calling and recognize our own responsibility, because in God's economy, there is no sending hungry people away. So lesson one, root our action in compassion. Lesson two, recognize our own responsibility. And the third lesson I think we can learn from this scripture is, don't be paralyzed by practicalities. When Jesus tells his disciples, "You give them something to eat," they say to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And they are paralyzed by their own incomprehension and worry about how they are going to afford to feed the thousands of people gathered in front of them. And to be honest, you can't really blame them. I think I would probably respond in the same way. Are we meant to go and buy all of this bread? I wonder how often we are paralyzed ourselves by our own fear, our own hopelessness, our own incomprehension that things are possible. And when it comes to vast issues, like I said before, when it comes to vast issues like homelessness or child poverty, it's so easy to feel like we can't do anything to make a difference. Of course, it is important to consider how we will resource the work we do and to properly plan and prepare. But ultimately, there comes a point when what is more important is to be faithful to God's calling on our lives than to be paralyzed by practicalities. So, lesson one, root our action in compassion. Lesson two, recognize our own responsibility. And lesson three, don't be paralyzed by practicalities. And the fourth lesson links in with the third, and it is, use what you've got. Jesus says to the disciples, "How much do you have? Go and see." He doesn't set himself up as the sole provider. He asks, "What do you have?" And I think good social action recognizes the resources and the gifts in individuals and therefore in communities, and makes the most of skills and capacities of local residents, groups, and businesses to build stronger, happier, and thriving communities. What Jesus models is a way of doing social action which isn't about dependency, but is about empowerment. Good social action doesn't make a group of vulnerable people dependent on a powerful group of people. It empowers them to surface and use their own resources. With this in mind, we realize that a struggling community already has most of what it needs for its own redemption, because the answers always lie in one another. When we use what we've got for our social action, we often discover amazing resources in people and places, and we begin to build a culture of mutual empowerment. So, root our action in compassion, recognise our own responsibility, don't be paralysed by practicalities, and use what you've got. And for me, the fifth and final lesson that I've taken from this passage comes from the last few verses, which say, "Then he ordered them to get all of the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties." I think so often we reduce the Jesus story to simply a personal one, but we need to remember it's also a social one. Jesus builds community. He gathered disciples and shared life with them. He prioritized spending time with people. And instead of sending hungry people away, he gathers them into communities and they share food together. His focus is not only on meeting physical needs, but on building relationships too. When we engage in social action by building community with those we come alongside, we engage as persons doing social action with persons, not for, not to, but with. By conducting any social action activity with the focus on building community rather than just meeting a need, suddenly we're living out kingdom values and we're beginning to usher in the kingdom through our action. And I think this is a unique thing the church can do because we have kingdom vision for our communities and the lives of the people in them. We can undertake action in a way which anticipates transformation, renewal, and the inbreaking of the kingdom. By deliberately doing social action in a way which prioritizes people and relationships and communities, we offer a foretaste of kingdom living. So this is our final lesson from Jesus feeding the 5,000. When our work builds community, it builds kingdom. And I just want to finish by thinking a bit more about what that means to be kingdom builders. Because if we go back to that bleak and very real picture that I talked about at the beginning, about what poverty looks like in this country, and that hopelessness we can feel, we must remember as Christians, we have the promise of the kingdom of God, and we must not be discouraged. In Isaiah 11, we're given a vision of the kingdom of God, which says, "With righteousness, God will uphold justice for the poor and defend the lowly of the earth. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." In this vision, there is justice for the poor, peace and equality between powerful and powerless. The small and the vulnerable will be raised up to leaders. Hurts are healed. And making this a reality is a task for all of us. It's a task for the body of Christ, and we're all in this together. You all here, us at the Church Urban Fund, thousands of other Christians participating in social action all over the country. And we are trying to address deep-rooted issues of immense hurt in our communities, sometimes failing, sometimes succeeding, but sometimes, by the grace of God, glimpsing the kingdom in the work we do and Christ in the people we meet. Amen.